times I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. They're like, I try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out.
We heard you missed us. We're back. Live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com, semi-weekly podcast after a brief hiatus, a summer vacation. If our good friend will allow me to steal his line, we are back like a bad habit and here for the long haul. I am Sam Fells, your host, former editor and writer of said site, formerly of Deadspin, now of Nowhere. You can find me on Twitter at Fellsgate. There's so much going on, so of course we're in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew, starting with, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business. He's Dr. Viral, and he's the CEO of Wrestling Brain Championship Wrestling on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 o'clock Central. He is Andrew Cieslak.
Tune in next Monday. I will be butt-chugging a 2-liter of Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew, actually.
Code Red.
That's right.
You can find Slack on Twitter at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
I feel like this is the best place to announce that I am going to be on the ticket as Kamala Harris's vice presidential mate.
Oh,
I agree. I agree with all of her policies.
You'll be big in swing states.
Yes.
The first man, we'll call you.
Yes. And I'll be especially huge in Pennsylvania that we desperately need.
Indeed. Pennsylvania loves you and you love it.
Yes.
And you love it.
It's a long-standing love affair between me and the fine people of Pennsylvania.
Our guy Fran, you might know him as Flyers Goal Scored By, he's going to run point for your campaign in Pennsylvania.
We're going to call it a street team. It's not
Indeed.
We're still keeping it punk rock here.
Cold ones and spicy boys for everybody.
Indeed. Number one hockey boy, me.
You can find Matt on Twitter to follow his campaign as vice president at Matt_McClure_, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and I believe he has spent the past 3 weeks while we've been on break stretching his hamstrings and quads, getting ready to run red and nude up and down California Avenue. He's Fifth Feather John.
No, I got 6 words for you, Sam.
Oh,
okay.
I am nude and I am horny. After the Hard Knocks,
those are seven words,
John.
No, 6, right? I am nude. Well, I am nude. I am horny. 6.
Yeah. You said and.
Did I?
Well,
no,
drop
I don't
and.
Think I did. I dropped the and. I dropped the vernacular. Dropped the and on that one. But anyways, that trailer, Sam. How could you not be a Bears fan after watching that minute clip? How is all of America not a Chicago Bears fan? I was frothing at the mouth. I've watched that trailer at least 12 times already.
That's how I felt about Gojira playing at the opening ceremony.
Yeah, I've watched that at least 20 times.
It was amazing. Anyway, John, carry on.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you, John.
The greatest trailer that HBO has ever done for a Hard Knocks.
It's almost like they're good at that stuff.
Yeah. Right. And it almost makes me wonder, why the hell haven't the Bears been doing it every damn season? Because they're going to look so cool.
Because they're weird. They're weird.
All you got to do is play clips of Gale Sayers saying 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need. And then you got like old Papa Bear Hallis drawn on a chalkboard, and you know that's all you need, and you're gonna have
and Mike Singletary yapping while everybody else on that defense does the work.
Exactly. Does the work, yeah.
This Hard Knock season is gonna be so good. Oh, I cannot wait. It's gonna be better than The Last Dance.
It's hard to look that cool when Kevin Warren is sitting right in the middle of it.
Right, we're not doing the Kevin Warren podcast.
No, we're not doing the Kevin Warren podcast.
No, Kevin Warren's not going to be there, Sam.
He's going to be there.
They got old footage of Papa Bear and Wrigley Field and Dick Butka hitting people. and he's gonna be there knocking people unconscious.
He's gonna be there if he has to do the Thor trying to get in the camera shot as Chris Pratt looks at his shipmates in the fourth Thor, like just like sticking his head in there. He's gonna get in. You can see him running in the background of every shot.
You think people watched the fourth Thor?
I did. Saw in the theater, in fact.
Oh boy.
It wasn't great.
I could have told you that.
No, but that has got me in a great mood.
Were there not enough quips or references for you in the fourth?
No. That was perfect, Matt. That scratched the meatball itch in all of us.
What, the fourth Thor?
No, yes. Not the fourth Thor, damn it. The trailer of Hard Knocks.
Say the fourth Thor again, I dare you.
The fourth Thor.
You can't.
If you combine it into one word, it's a little easier.
I'm so Thor, I could barely pith. All right.
Well, John, you've let us off, so we might as well stay with the beloved. We have returned because pads were cracking, helmets were...
Helmeting.
They cracked too, right? I don't know.
And grainy footage of people doing practice plays has been shot across all social media.
All across the social medias.
John's pervert coworker took a picture of himself outside the building.
The Bears beat writers are already complaining.
More bad days than good, apparently, according to none other than professional scout Mark Grody.
Right.
I'm letting John and Slack go here because I really don't have that many thoughts. But
well, that was one thing I wanted to get to right away. And thank you, Matt, for teeing that up for me. But Grody talking about more bad than good. Well, isn't that the same guy that said last year that the first possession of the preseason was going to be the most important possession in the entire season, and was going to tell you how everything was going to play out? And the Bears scored on the third damn play, and then they sucked ass for the first 2 months of the season.
Yep.
Shut up, Mark Grody. Nobody cares what you have to say or your analysis.
Go have a
you're
drink,
a bitch, sir. Sir, you're a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Andrew, you said it in the group text, but they need to stop allowing people to film during practices of training camp or even like
John's going bunker mentality.
Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, there's no reason for people to get so worked up over fucking practice.
Are you not the same guy though, that is like basically honking off? Though,
oh, I hopped off to it. Yeah, of course. But
to those back pylon throws.
I would absolutely honk off to a back pylon throw all day, every day. But I don't need the bad stuff to go along with it, or people trying to be a little nervous about what's to come, or trying to read the tea leaves as to, well, they struggled on 7-on-7, but 11-on-11, they looked okay. So that tells me that maybe they're going to be good. They're playing each other. It's the same thing every damn year. Go to another camp.
Well, they'll get those practices with Cincinnati at some point. Yeah. So we can read more into that than people have been reading into whatever the hell it's been up at 1920 Football Drive.
If you're going to break down practices, if they're doing it against an opposition, then fine. But when they're going against each other, it's just stupid. It's dumb. I don't want to hear about how so-and-so looked good against this and the defense looked really great and the offense looked good for stretches and blah, blah, blah. It's the same. It's just annoying. Like, none of it means anything. It's just a fill air. Anyways.
Yeah, but that's all there is to do at this point in the year.
That's their job.
No, fill the air with me honking off to back corner throws.
No.
Get excited about that. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's silly that it's always when the Bears, it's the same kind of like thread every year where people get nervous because the defense has a few stops in a row and the offense struggles for a day. Oh, I don't know.
And this is a defense people have extremely high expectations of.
Right. That's the thing, Matt.
There's a lot of things.
But not everyone can't get out of their way fast enough to tell us this is a top 10, top 5 unit, and I'm...
Oh, to have a top 5 unit.
Indeed, raising an eyebrow at that. But, like, yeah, they have not hesitated to fan the flames of what they think this defense can do And then they shit themselves when the defense has a good day in practice. Like that. Like that's how it should be, right?
It's bad. It's bad if the defense looks good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even though the defense is already light years ahead of them anyways, because the
there's a new offensive coordinator.
Right. And a new quarterback.
They're installing new things. Yes.
Basically, Cole Kmet and DJ Moore are basically your returning pieces of the offense, other than the guys on the line.
Yeah, and Herbert, I guess, is. But yeah, you have a completely new offense going against the defense of all the same guys who
been here 3 years some
for
of
a
them.
While. Right.
Yeah.
So I want to switch gears a little bit within the Bears topic.
Go ahead.
I've been waiting.
Let's talk about.
Unless you got more rant you want to get out.
I think we all agree that not playing your starters in a game that they shouldn't even have on the schedule makes sense.
Absolutely.
How do we feel about the widespread mocking of the Bears that comes from any piece of Bears news that comes out? Does that affect anybody in any way, or does it just piss me off only? Am I the only one who reads it and says, here we fucking go again?
It washes over me at this point. The only mocking of the Bears that I take seriously is what takes place on this damn podcast. I don't really care. There's three preseason games. This one is just tacked on. Shouldn't even be treated anything more than a practice.
It's not, because they're playing no one. So
they're playing, I
saw something too. I just want to point this out that last preseason, CJ Stroud, I think he played 20 total snaps.
I believe he was 11 for 18 for 89 yards.
Okay. Maybe that's what it was. There was something extremely limited playing time.
Right. They're not going to play in the last preseason game either. They never do. Or they play a series. And then it's all the threes and twos puking on the field because they have to play three quarters and they're not conditioned for it.
Right. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be disgusting. So yeah, CJ Stroud threw 20 passes.
Yeah.
Last preseason, 20 total.
So yeah, the second game is the Bills, correct? I believe that's
which is everyone else's game. First game.
Which is everyone else's first game. He'll play a quarter and a half there, maybe just a quarter.
Yeah.
Play a full half, maybe even a little more in the next one, and that's it. That's all you get. That's all you need. I will say the one thing that other than the defense having good days is apparently a bad thing, even though they're supposed to be good. This is still the same head coach who didn't have the team ready to play last year. And people are writing articles about how just the way he looks has changed the perception of who he is. We don't know that this guy isn't a dunce yet, do we?
He better fucking not be.
He better not be, but we don't know. Do we know?
Well, look, Sam, I've been watching a lot of the NFL Network this summer.
Okay. Well, then
I've been watching a lot of.
He's got time, Sam. You can't fuck with him on this one at this point. So
this Football Life or Football Life. I've been watching a lot of those, and Steve Young said that in the NFL, perception is reality, and it took him a long time to learn that. And so, if the perception is that Eberflus is cool, Eberflus now with his beard and his manicured hair, then that's who he is. Right. He's no longer a doofus.
Well, I don't. That's fine if he's cool.
Built himself into something that almost gets a do-over, right? Like it feels.
Yeah, he's
like
earned it. He's earned a do-over.
It feels like to me that the.
How's he earned a do-over?
I will give you my thoughts if you shut your mouth for 2 seconds. okay, so his good ending to the season, not including the Packers game,
or the Browns game,
or the Browns game,
of course.
Or the Lions game.
Yeah. We did those shows already. My point is, they finished relatively strong compared to how they started. The offseason went extremely well. He got a glow up. They have a quarterback. He's starting over. You're not talking about Alan Williams' perverted computer anymore. You're not talking about the Chiefs game, which was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. You're not talking about those things right now. He can easily dip back down into the clown zone in one game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much, but he's at least back to where he started. He's almost like a new guy. And he'll remind us if he's not a new guy very quickly. Or maybe he continues to be the new guy. Time will tell. But that's where he's at today, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think there was that huge long piece on ESPN.com about him. I think the other thing too, that where he's earned that the baseline reset almost, is that he's kind of put in the work. He really attempted to improve himself, not only as a head coach, but as a public facing speaker.
Yeah.
So, and he got Brandon Faber fired from the Bears. So, I mean, to me, those are three things that you get credit for. So, yeah, I think he's earned at least, like Andrew said, to kick off of opening day, and then we'll see what happens.
Do we think that fear of his way hotter than him wife leaving him because he's a dunce and doing what she told him to do as far as how she wants him to look? Do you think that Kelly Eberflus like deserves some credit?
Well, we'll wait to throw flowers at her. We'll wait to throw flowers at her.
I mean, she is on the list. She is a woman. She's got to wait. So, you know, mm-hmm. Right,
yep.
John?
Yep. Yeah, that's
she gets
what I
credit for their apiary, also, or whatever it's called.
Also, I want to make sure that he is, in fact, not a moron or a doofus, as Sam called him. So,
yeah, he still might be.
But like,
he still might be, but yeah.
All the gloss, which all this is, it's just gloss. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if he really improves speaking to the media or not.
Well,
I want him to improve as a head coach.
He improves speaking to the players.
Yeah, don't call that goddamn zone blitz against Cleveland or whatever the fuck that was.
I don't think his relationship with the players was ever a problem. I think they've always loved him. I don't think that's his issue. And I don't care.
They like him. I think that's clear.
I think they've liked him from the day he walked in. I don't think that's a problem. And I'm not sitting here starting a fire flus campaign. I think his report card.
We also did that show many times.
We've done that show. His report card is as open or incomplete as it was when the last season ended, and I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what he's wearing.
He looked like shit before. His new look is like genuinely 500 times better than the weirdo, creepy predator thing he had going on before.
That's great, but if it doesn't help him manage the clock better,
of course.
Like, who cares? I mean, I understand. There's nothing. There's just dead air in Chicago sports right now. Because the baseball ended here.
Yes.
And there's nothing really to talk about the Bears. They haven't played games. They're just having practices. So you got to fill the air with Eberflus's new haircut and white jeans. But I don't care.
And $425 hair dryer.
Right. This is still a guy that we don't know. This is still a guy we don't know can go from point A to point B, much less point C. It's a 7-10 team that should have at least gone 9-8, and he's like mostly responsible just for that 9-8 not being 9-8. That's not gonna fly.
You know what we're gonna find out is how much of that responsibility fell on number one.
Also. And Luke Getsy.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna find out. That's the good news, is there is a variable that we can test against, right? There's a difference. You can easily look at this year and say, this is the same, so we know it's Mr. Eberflus versus, wow, things are better. Turns out they fired the moron and got a better quarterback. Like that's what we're gonna find out.
Right. I mean, the first thing.
To be fair too, like Eberflus had to have known that he signed up for eating shit for at least 1 year, maybe possibly two.
Well, if it speaks to me that he was never under threat of getting fired. That you're correct, right? Like him and Poles clearly had this plan. If Justin doesn't work, we've got, you know, we're going to try somebody else, and we're going to try.
We've got the Panthers first insurance policy.
Exactly. So it's like, look, we got time,
and it came through in fucking spades.
Exactly. There you go.
I mean, I'm just looking for them to be ready to play on week one, because they were not last year. They weren't ready in week four.
Well, Sam, it all comes down to the first possession of the preseason. That'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's how I'll know.
Remember when I told him that was stupid and he was, like, taken aback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was surprised. Remind him of that. Remind him of that on Thursday.
Oh, I will. Please text me if I'm not reminding him of that.
So, John, you tune in Thursday just to see the orange and blue on the field. You just want to see the uniforms on the green field. And then you turn it off.
Well, we are going to get Devin, and we probably won't get Mongo.
But, I wouldn't think so, no.
Julius Peckers is they'll all be out there. All the stars are here. So that's
Peppers
a reason
will be hot.
Yes. They're hot right now, goddammit. So that's kind of a reason to tune in. And play, what the hell else you're watching? You're not watching baseball.
No.
I mean, I'm watching baseball, but you're not. So that's fine.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, Sam's waiting for the Brewers to collapse any day now.
Yeah, one of these years they'll collapse.
Losing tonight.
Who cares? Everybody's losing tonight.
Especially our listeners.
Andrew, you said you had more bad Bears thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think you kind of brought it up, though. Like you mentioned, I don't want to hear about, you know, what's going to happen. I genuinely...
I don't want to hear a good day.
I can't shake the idea that, I suppose before the first game that the starters play, this is about as good as it can get with the DJ Moore extension being a nice cherry on top. Like, it's been so nice this offseason. It's been one of the... It's got to be the best offseason ever as a Bear. It has to be, right?
Yes.
Nothing comes close. The DJ Moore extension is just like icing on the cake.
Glad they gave it all to him guaranteed.
Komet all locked up. And Odunze all locked up going through Caleb's entire first contract. So he's set up to have the same guys to throw to. And DJ Moore is, I think, fifth in the NFL history of receiving yards before age 27. I saw that earlier. He's like insanely good. I don't even think we realize how good he is, and we already think he's that good. This is really good, and it's yeah. I don't want to worry about what's going to happen. That's going to suck, but I just think I'm setting myself up for just being very sad.
Nate Davis is going to suck. That's what's going to suck, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, I just
I think the if you're looking to give yourself heartburn, the offensive line will be more than glad to give it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have to worry about that.
But maybe
yet.
Not. Not guaranteed. You don't know. It'll be bad.
Well, if they're smart enough to scheme around it, like the other asshole couldn't figure out.
Right.
I mean, that was something we're screaming at for years. So
and they have a lot cushier of a start to the season. They don't have. They're not into the fire and brimstone right away of facing the Packers.
Or as OB would say, firing with brimstone.
Yeah.
God damn, I missed the Doug and OB show.
Yeah, that was the good stuff.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's just there's a lot to be excited about, like Andrew said, and
there is,
the fact that the start of their season, it's not even if it's a little bit bumpy, it's not going to be the end of the world because they don't get to the division play until halfway through the season.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't think they even get into the conference until like six or seven in.
Right. There's not going to be that same dread of, well, if they drop two out of their first three, that's going to really put them behind the eight ball in the NFC, you know, because none of those games are going to matter in the tie-breaking situation. So, I don't know. It's
other than, you know, the wins and the losses.
Well, right. Obviously that matters, but I'm just saying it's not as dire as years past. Like last year, let's say, when they lost to the Packers right out of the chute, and then the Bucks right after that.
That Bucks game was abysmal.
Oh
my God. I don't have the schedule in front of me. Do we have any games in Florida this year?
No.
Thank God. I don't think so.
The Jaguars are here.
Great.
And the Bears' first divisional game is November 17th.
The Jaguars aren't here. I believe they're in London.
Oh, right.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Well, right. Yes. It's their residency in London.
Yeah. Bottom line is no Florida games. Thank God, because those are never good. Never.
London overseas games generally haven't been good for the beloved
either.
No, they haven't. Won the one with color against Tampa.
Yeah.
I feel like they lost an exhibition game in Dublin in our Ute.
Probably. Then there was that Raiders game, which we're not going to talk about.
Nope. Chase Daniel.
Aren't those the only two? I believe that's the only two. They've resisted this as much as they have Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're going to look so silly for not doing Hard Knocks sooner, because I'm telling you, this is going to be the best season they've ever done. And they're not going to look weird.
Kickoff.
They're not going to look weird. I think HBO
is going to... I mean,
they're
going to look weird.
They're going to show...
1997, July 27th.
They're going to show Wilbur knocking people cold and, you know, Urlacher and, you know, all that. So people
are just for cowards and losers, John.
Nope. Not anymore, Sam. Not for HBO. Showing the coach kicking and screaming on the sidelines.
Spitting his gum.
We should tell the kids, if you want the best Hard Knocks review possible that's out there, you will tune in to this podcast. Because we will be reviewing every episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perhaps as soon as it goes off the air.
That I have four yellow pads for each episode.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think we could rig it to do it live, but maybe we'll talk about it.
Emergency pod following the...
Every episode.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
All right. Well, is that all we got for the beloved? Did we empty the chamber?
I think so.
Yeah.
And now, John.
Oh, boy.
You teased some White Sox thoughts in our text thread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which part? Where do you want to start?
Wherever you want to start, baby.
I would love to get your thoughts on the Sox studio show roasting Eloy.
That's where the majority of my thoughts are.
I got to hear about this.
Because it seems pretty convenient now in year six of the Eloy experience.
16.
To now say what a bad guy he was and how he didn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. As if though that was the first time anybody's finding out about this. As though this is the first time you ever had the opportunity to trade him. As though this is the first time you never had a coach or somebody try to get in his face.
Let me ask you this. What about as if Eloy's lack of health and or hustle is somehow more important than the front office hiring a bunch of yes men dopes who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground?
Yeah, that too. Also, Andrew... How about giving Eloy a 6-year deal before he's even made his major league debut?
Okay. No, John,
I'm gonna
push back on that. That was the White Sox way of doing business. That was the way of getting
a shitty way of doing business. But they're
at best a mid-market team, and that's kind of the way they would have to do things. I was all right with that, and I'm all right with. And I am all right with, let's be fucking honest here, poor kids from impoverished countries cashing a check real early. They're taking fucking advantage of that, but at least they're getting their goddamn money rather than getting paid at minor league scale and having to go to fucking arbitration and getting told how they suck every year. So I'm a little like, in the grand scheme of it, it's fucking baseball money. A 6-year deal and giving them what, like 6 or even 10 per, it's fucking nothing. Especially when you've got the fucking stadium deal that Jerry has had for the last 30 goddamn years, where you get made whole for attendance shortfalls. So I'm all right with that. Again, even if. Like
you're
Eloy,
right with giving that to a guy who doesn't want to listen and doesn't want to work.
You don't know
that's
that. You don't know that at the time, and that at that point it's a sunk cost. It's a cost of doing business.
McGuffey is talking about it like everybody knew about it this whole time. So
I think the shit talk after the fact is in general a bitch move. If you've got the information,
the money, that's not what I'm. You know, he didn't push him to sign that contract. The White Sox did, because their owner still operates as though it's 1992. So they figured they would get ahead of the curve rather than try to go year.
Well,
to year
let's
Eloy
hope in 30 years. Here, let's hope in 30 years Eloy isn't pushing bad NFTs on us.
I think it's possible.
But
John, I think your underlying point is that you better know that about the guy before you sign him.
And clearly they didn't, Sam, because they did the same thing with Mancata. They did the same thing with Luis Robert. And now everybody's saying, well, look at how all this turned out. Well, it was all there in front of you. It's not like these guys were a mystery. You had them in your system. You had people working with them. Eloy started.
And they weren't draft picks. There were other people that scouted them.
Right.
Eloy was a Cubs pick. Moncada was a Red Sox pick.
But they came through your system.
When it's this many guys.
And it's all the same thing. It's an organizational issue.
Yeah, then that's an organizational problem.
So to say, like, you know, to be waving your pom-poms in the trade deadline show saying thanks Orioles or whatever the fuck they were saying. Like, no, like the White Sox share the blame in how Eloy turned out. Like it's not, you know, just because he's a bad seed or he just didn't want to play or he wanted to do things his way. Well, who let him do that? You had him when he was 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Matt.
And who was in charge of the minor leagues at the time when he was there?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I agree with Matt that, like, if everyone knew this stuff beforehand, then it's got to be part of the discussion when he gets hurt again. Like whatever soft tissue injury he has because he's out of shape and he doesn't work hard and he doesn't stretch or whatever, he doesn't work out.
But Moncada is fucking shredded, though. Moncada's got the biscuits, and he's fucking hurt all the time, though.
Popcorn muscles?
Yeah, he's like, he's a Equinox guy.
Right. Like,
or as Dennis would say to Mac, those are your glamour muscles.
Right. That's to wait until he's out of town and say now when, you know, like, because McGuffey's got to go to the park, right?
Yeah.
So now he doesn't have to see Eloy. Like, he could say all these things and not have to answer for it. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're doing your job, you say that stuff and then someone calls you on it, you say, well, here are my sources or here's what I've got. And you tell me where.
And if
where
it was this big of an issue for the Sox, why did they wait till year six of this contract to unload him?
When he had no value.
Yeah. You got a AAA left-hander who, fine. You need arms in the bullpen, clearly, because Peter Griffin doesn't know what the fuck to do when he picks up that phone.
27 wins, 27 blown saves on July 31st.
Well, was it 27 blown saves and they've lost the lead 41 times or something of a game that they've been winning late? Good it's Lord. It's something insane. Anyways, my point is that none of this should be a surprise, nor should it be celebrated. This is a failure across the board. You're losing franchise.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's stupid.
Well, the thing was, and this is a fucking conversation from 3 or 4 years ago now, should have taken his glove away then. The fuck were you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, there was never an adult in the organization that stepped in to put him on a right path. So how is that, you know, I get, like, everybody's an adult, so he should take the share of the blame for how his career has turned out. But at the same time, you know, it's not worth celebrating that he's gone. No, it's a fucking failure. Especially the way that he was hyped coming in.
Not dyped.
This sounds like
not
the, this sounds like the Jose Abreu podcast we did 2 years ago. You remember that one?
Ooh. They all kind of blend together. So stick out, but I don't remember.
It was sort of incongruous, however that goes, where you got all these stories about how everyone looked up to Abreu and what a leader he was, and then at the same time, there were all these stories about how the White Sox clubhouse was a mess. They were a mess on the field. They didn't do anything right. They didn't have the fundamentals. They didn't run the bases well. They couldn't catch the ball. They didn't work hard.
Right.
And we said in this podcast, like, well, if Abreu is the one leading this team, then he's the one you have to look at, right? Like, we already know the manager's out to lunch because Tony La Russa, he's falling asleep. He doesn't know what's going on. And everyone's like, well, everyone in the clubhouse looks up to Abreu. And it's like, well, okay, do they all suck?
Let me just chime in here. For whatever reason, as an outside observer, White Sox discourse tends to focus on effort or lack thereof and not talent. What the fuck is that all about? Why are we still doing this?
Southside tough, my friend. You should know. You married into it.
It's embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
Suck.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ. Like, I don't care if you know who used to not run to first base and who got yelled at a lot about it was Ramirez.
Yes.
He didn't suck. He was fucking good. So Do get a guy like that, and then all of a sudden it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, Jose Abreu, you want to yell about him. He was the only goddamn I mean, not the only one. They were good when he was here, but he was producing. So
right. I understand
you're yelling
that.
At him because there were other – like, because half well, the think... roster stinks because you can't pay anyone? It's Jose Abreu's fault? Like, that's mind-blowing. That's crazy.
I mean, I think with – at least in this instance with the Sox, yes, there on the South Side, there's far too much focus on effort Jesus. And hustle and all that. But, like, with this, with Eloy and with Moncada and with Robert, I don't think that's a question of talent. I think there's good players there within them. They just don't do the things to consistently bring them out. And whether that's them or the organization or combination thereof, the whole thing's rotten. But I don't know how you're going to fix it with the
who
GM
acquired
who's
those
been in the
players?
Organization the whole time.
Yeah. Who acquired those players?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. They scouted or didn't scout or whatever and decided these were the guys they wanted to acquire. So it's not on the players. It's on them, the front office and management, period.
And speaking of White Sox discourse, and this is something to the previous core that was here, right? So everybody is a lot of Sox fans now are getting really angry at Chris Getz because of the trade he made yesterday for Eric Fetty and right. worried about where the players that he acquired appeared on MLB Pipeline's prospect rankings. Who gives a fuck where they are? The guys that you just acquired in the last core were prospects 1, 2, 3, 4 in all of baseball. And how did that turn out for you? You got one playoff win out of it.
One division.
Give a shit about the MLB Pipeline prospect rankings. My God, I'm so sick of that website.
No, you do. You make a good point, and this is the part that I don't want to get too down the rabbit hole with this because then I got Sam come after me. But it's not just the White Sox. I'm not trying to single out the White Sox. It's not fair to do that. But at the end of the day, like it's incredible how quickly certain people on the internet who talk about the Sox can just forget that they have the worst team in the history of the sport and hope to God that some of these
season rules so hard
and hope that some of these players they get back are somehow going to be contributors. Contributors to what?
Yeah.
You're never going to sign a guy worth anything. And the one you did is the worst player in fucking baseball. Right? Benintendi is the worst player.
Yes, that's the biggest contract the Sox have ever given out.
And your own, go ahead. I'll let
the
you
other,
finish.
Another free agent you signed, who's now jettisoned, was also the worst player in baseball. I think that's Maldonado. He's gone now. If your best prospects, let's say Colson Montgomery turns into Corey Seager, who the fuck else is there on that roster? Who are they buying in free agency? Who else are they developing to make a team worth
it? Well, let's see what former Cardinals... Right. are available.
Yeah.
And former Royals.
I'm just saying, like, they're not even willing to do the bullshit strategy that apparently the Cubs are fine with, which is just hope you're at 500 and see what happens. Like, they're not even close to that.
Jerry DePoto's 54%.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will, but, like, that's at least a coin flip. I don't know, man. I'm not obviously a White Sox fan, but it's infuriating to watch what Reinsdorf has done.
It's all the whim of a deeply flawed and extremely old man.
And I can say for a fact, if I were a White Sox fan from day one, like you and John, I would still be following and bitching about the team. I wouldn't stop being a Sox fan. It's just something that I'm stuck with. But I would.
Right.
I don't know how that. I don't know what you're looking for.
That's it, and you would because that is against your Catholic upbringing. You would then be drinking to a problematic level. Not that I'm speaking from experience on any of this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing too, Andrew, about that. So the last rebuild, you had the kegs cleared, and you had all the powder in the world to go after Bryce Harper or Manny Machado.
Yep.
And you still
had the graphics ready.
And you half-assed it. So why would you have any hope that, exactly what you just said, that they would do it again? And all the guys that they're acquiring are like middle-of-the-road, slappy middle infielders. And they're not even that great at defense. So it'd be different if, like, Chris Getz was like, we're going to win with defense and pitching. Okay,
which doesn't
fine.
Work. I can tell you
it doesn't work.
Jed, hello.
But it'd be different. And you know, all he's trying to do is just acquire a bunch of starters. Well, guess what? Starters are basically worthless now because everybody goes four innings. And then you got to have your the Andrew special, guys who throw 99 miles an hour with a 95 mile an hour slider. And you got to have 14 of them in your bullpen.
You do.
You do.
If you're not throwing 96 plus on every pitch, you're garbage.
No, the only hope for the White Sox is that, hey, they do get the number one pick.
His are ours. His are ours.
The number one pick out of the season, which isn't guaranteed. They have
they're
a
not going
now.
To. No, Sam. They can only go as high as 10 in the draft.
Oh, because of previous drafts?
Because of Manfred's dumbass rules. They can't pick higher than 10th because they picked in the top five this past season.
Okay, then you are screw.
Yeah,
and they're not going to spend money in international because Jerry doesn't allow that.
They'll occasionally hit on a Cuban 16-year-old or a Cuban allegedly 26-year-old who's actually 38.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened in like 15 years.
Didn't they have that scout down there running all kinds of schemes and scams?
Oh yeah, he was a real creep.
Flims and flams.
But no, and then to Andrew's point about Benintendi, well, that's your dumbass old owner. He's going to learn all the wrong lessons from it because he's going to say, "Well, I just paid $75 million for a guy, and he's the worst player in baseball. Why should I spend that much for another guy?"
They're piecing together all of the fucking 2017 draft. By the way, let's go through that.
That is Jerry's philosophy too, and I've heard the quotes.
Yes,
where he'll say like, well, I could get a guy who's slightly worse for like significantly less money. So why the hell would I spend that kind of money on a guy who's barely better or whatever his reasoning is? Like, there's always an excuse not to do it. Always. It's just. And the other problem is it does affect me because it's also the Bulls.
Right. It is also the Bulls.
Which is a
different also the Bulls. Also the Bulls.
And the Bulls also like to mirror the White Sox today by apparently having released some internal statement.
That Zach's a bitch.
On the team saying Zach LaVine will not change because he's an asshole and a coward. Or if he wants to change, then we can win with him. Like, the guy has no trade value and you're just tanking it somehow even below zero? Whatever, man. I don't know. It goes back to how we started this show. If the Bears aren't good, I'm burning down the entire city.
You might have to.
There's nothing. There's.
I don't think you'll be alone. I don't think you'll be alone.
God, I don't think they'll be bad. I think they'll be.
I don't think they'll be bad. They're going to be in it
until
the
end. They'll be.
I don't know.
Hunt.
I can't say they'll be a playoff team for sure, but like they'll be on the graphic.
If they can inflict some divisional pain, I'll be very happy. Like hurt.
You know what?
Hurt them. Hurt the Lions. Hurt the Packers. Hurt the Vikings. We'll be happy.
If they're not on the graphic, Eberflus's new haircut's going to be going out of town.
He's not going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to afford it.
He's going to have to. He's put that hair dryer up on eBay.
Exactly. If they're not in the graphic, then he can take his haircut walking. All right. Before we get to the Creedence, Slack, do you want to say goodbye to Christopher Morel?
He hit a home run tonight.
He did.
Oh yeah. No, I don't give a shit about Christopher Morel. He's hitting 196. Who cares?
Yeah,
I was stupid enough to think he was going to be good, and now he might be because he's gone. Yeah,
much like the White Sox fans seem to forget that they're the worst team in history. I feel like Cubs fans have forgotten that he was hitting 196 and was a danger to society.
Oh, the discourse
with a glove on his hand.
The discourse around the trade deadline was infuriating.
It was
so,
bad.
He ran hard down the line. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Look, he's a good dude, and people like him, and that's great.
He's a fun guy.
But you're hitting 196. You can't field a lick on a team that's underachieving by 15 games, maybe. So you got to make changes. You can't keep the roster together. Every time they linked any player on this roster to a trade, people lost their minds. Like, what the you're just going to keep this roster the same? This is unwatchable. What are you talking about?
I feel like it's getting attached to Nico Horner now.
No, it's Arizona Phil.
That is your proximity to Ashley, Sam.
Well, no. I mean, yes, absolutely. My best friend is obviously leading the charge, but she's hardly alone. And it's not that I think Nico Horner is a bad player at all, but he's a glove-only second baseman when you have a glove-only center fielder, a glove-only shortstop, a glove-only catcher. You can't have this many glove-only. You know,
they don't have a catcher with a glove. I don't know what you saw.
Well, yeah, they have a nothing only catcher.
They cannot play. That guy cannot play defense to save his fucking life.
So you know, I mean, like, you start doing the thing, and, like, at the same time, I see all these guys, they still get weak in the knees over Owen Casey and Matt Shaw, and who's the other one? It's like, well, you got to open up some spots for these guys, be a DH or in the outfield, and maybe it has to be second base, too. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, well, this team sucks. Okay, but you can't get rid of anybody. All right. Well,
that's where you have to really hand it to Jed. He really accomplished something special.
Jed's cooking.
He built Jed's a team Jed's of world. Guys you can't trade who stink. That's impressive. How the fuck did you do that?
With no trade clauses.
Well, because they're all handsome white guys. That's because you can't train them.
It's amazing. Anyway, all right.
I feel like we need to do some hard hawk hockey here
You know what? I don't want to do any fucking hockey in July. I'm sorry. I just don't.
They're in the box.
They're in the box, and we'll go through all this in training camp when it gets really stupid after the Bears lose their opener and Slags out there.
Yeah, but none of us like what we're hearing though.
Also, it's July, and I don't think anything that gets out there now means anything.
Also, if Luke has any newts,
I don't care. I'm in the box. So Hard Knock starts next week. John's nude and stretching out his hamstrings, getting ready to sprint. We're not doing hockey in July. I'm sorry, we're not doing it. We're not Canadian. I don't know. That's not my job.
You brought up the Vikings, or Andrew did.
I did,
and it made me thinking about your JJ McCarthy.
Ugh. Can't wait. Oh, just can't wait.
Word he signed, up, I assume. I didn't know if he signed. Yeah. Did he sign? Okay.
Word out of up north is that he is going to be the starter very soon.
Up north?
Well, who's he competing with?
Oh, he's Sam showing Darnold. Out. He's showing out at training camp.
Uh-huh.
McCarthy has reportedly been, quote, cutting up, end quote, the Vikings first team defense.
Okay.
Below me.
Yeah. That's my reaction, too. Just, I mean, by all means, throw him out there.
Yeah, please do. Let's take a look.
Let's get the Minnesota media to cover the Bears, because I feel like they would probably talk about the Bears being the greatest offense in the history of the NFL.
Well, look at how they talk about Brock Faber.
I'm saying. They're all just a bunch of gomers.
Who's Brock Faber?
Exactly.
He's a $67 million man. Thank you very much.
I saw Jay talking about slight difference there is, I guess it's a difference, but it's not a huge difference between him and Vlasic, and Vlasic is significantly less.
It's like we said, no hockey money. In July.
Okay.
And Faber's like 29 years old.
You brought
old
up
too,
Faber, by the way. We were moving
well,
on.
I did.
We
pivoted. It's partially my fault, but I'm trying Faber. To fix it.
All right,
I'm trying to fix
this.
It.
But your JJ McCarthy will be
the bottom line is start JJ McCarthy.
Listen
Do me
to
a
this.
Favor.
Listen to this. Vikings regular season, this is important, okay? I think this is great. Put a JJ McCarthy in there. Game one is at the Giants. That's very winnable for them. Totally fair. We know what?
Actually, I would prefer he looks great in that game.
Great, because guess what's coming? 49ers. Bad. Texans.
Bad.
At Green Bay.
Bad.
And then the Jets.
Jets have a real defense.
Jets have a real defense.
The Jets defense will fuck you up.
That's 1-4.
We're not done. And then Detroit.
1-5.
They are going to struggle.
Jerma Gary is pissed off that you're not believing in the Vikings, Andrew.
Are we doing a Viking schedule release?
No, we're not doing the whole schedule.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make a point.
I would like to do the Viking schedule, though, just for shits.
They're coming out of the gates with a big pecker stain on their face.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Slack, I hope that he throws for like 350 yards against the Giants. I want them all frothing. And super excited, like, oh, we pulled one over on the whole league.
On DeBull.
We got this guy. We've got DeBull, who can't even sit up to interview his draft prospects. Fucking slob.
That doesn't make you look racist at all.
And then he's going to spend the next month and a half getting pecker slapped. Can't wait.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, all right. Now we can get to the kids.
All right.
Oh, boy. All right, so let's, again, this was part of the group chat earlier. This isn't really a question, but I need to hear the Andrew and John dialogue about this Yorogi situation.
Oh, jeez.
I have a question about it. Is it a pierogi filled with, like, lamb?
I think it's a pierogi with gyro meat inside of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they probably put like tzatziki in there with cucumbers.
That sounds delicious.
Maybe as a dip, not in it. You don't put stuff in the pierogi.
No. It's just meat or cheese or vegetables in there. Yeah. No.
Right.
No.
You don't put like.
There's no sauce in the pierogi.
Correct. No sauce in the pierogi.
So we were presented as a group by Sarcastic Mike that needed John and Andrew's take here on what clearly looks like a food tent at some kind of street fest. I don't know if it's necessarily around here, but it is a GYR-OGI, a Yerogi.
Right.
And we have been going back and forth as a group about the merits thereof since this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I think John's very heavily against it, if I'm not mistaken.
No. The only carb that should go on a gyro is pita, mm-hmm. not whatever pierogi is.
It's just a dumpling.
Yeah.
It's just a dumpling. It's not ravioli.
I feel like John, you're depriving yourself of a potentially delicious, if unholy.
Matt, I didn't say I wouldn't try it.
Now listen. I'll just say this. If you've had pierogies, great. But if you haven't had pierogies at my dad's, then you should refrain, because I'm telling you, the way he makes them, this thing would hit very hard.
How does he make them? Does he make them from scratch?
No, it's not that he makes the pierogi. It's how he cooks the pierogi.
But you're not gonna release?
Well, like a pot sticker, or?
I mean, he basically cooks down some bacon and then uses the fat to cook the pierogies.
There we go. Very good.
In the pan, I use butter.
And they are extremely crispy when he's done with them. If there was a gyro version and then you got the tzatziki on the side there, oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably have a heart attack on the spot, but it'd be worth it.
Yeah.
All right, what's next on the hit parade?
All right. All right, Brian Yasudis would like to know what metal band should play the L.A. opening ceremonies.
Is a Slayer from there?
Well, they're all dead. So. Well,
no, they're not.
Most of them are dead. The guy who matters is dead.
Kerry King isn't dead. Dave Lombardo's not dead.
The other guy's dead.
Tom Araya's not dead. He's posting ignorant shit online.
Right. Jeff Hanneman's dead. He got bit by a spider and died.
On his balls. I think the answer is suicidal tendencies, and they do institutionalize. No, Psycho Michael's not dead.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Fairly sure he is.
Killing people off on the podcast.
Let's see here. You know who's going to play it.
Mike Muir isn't dead.
You know who's going to play it. This is not a joke. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to play it.
Oh, no question, but that's not a metal band.
I didn't say they were. I'm just saying that's who's going to play it.
Well, Slayer's from Huntington Park, so they have to, if you're looking for a metal band, they have to be the ones.
Is that Orange County?
Yes.
Close enough, right?
No.
For the Olympics?
That's a different country, Orange County. Those people are nuts.
Is Gojira from Paris itself?
Yes.
No, they're not from Paris.
So there you go.
All right, we're looking this up.
Fine. Well, then we can have any American band, I guess, if that's what we're doing here.
Right? Fine. Tool. Tool should play the opening ceremony.
Tool's an LA band, so that would count.
Yeah.
The Offspring. No, wait, they're Orange County.
They also should have, whoever plays it should also have.
Bad Religion. They're not metal, but still.
If you're going to do that, then it's got to be Social Distortion.
Well, no, they're Orange County.
Whatever. It's Southern California. That's all that matters for the Olympics.
Sam, you just want the Social Distortion, Bad Religion combo concert again.
No, that's
also known as the event horizon of Matt and my very good friend Ashok attending.
Yes. It's not together. My event horizon. All right.
And to answer
well, you
the
titled
question,
it the event horizon.
It is.
Just quickly, the guys from Gojira are not from Paris. They're from Southwest France.
Yes.
Okay.
So there. You can use any metal band you want.
You can use any band you want, correct. As long as they're American. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck it.
Pelican can play it. I don't care. And two of them live in L.A. anyway.
It'll probably be like they could scrape up Motley Crue or something.
You'll get Metallica. And
I don't know that Motley Crue is going to make it to 2028.
God willing. Yeah, there's not a lot of good options here. Weezer.
Arrest Rivers Cuomo.
Fuck's sake. Right, what's next?
All right, speaking of John's very good friend, Shoke, I feel like we have the inside scoop on this specific question. Vince Moscos, it looks like the Fresh Market on Western and Palmer is either closing or getting some rebrand. What do I do if they ruin it? Well, we have some good news, Vince.
They won't ruin it. It's being rebranded as a Greek market. So there you go.
They're enhancing it.
Yep.
You can get some gyrogi.
Yep.
God willing.
Oof. God willing.
You can also get
all the same people. It's all the same people. They're just giving it a new name. That's all.
They're giving it some zhuzh.
They're giving it a new haircut and white jeans.
And a
and an apiary.
And a $425 hair dryer.
$425 hair dryer.
All right, what's left? Is there anything left?
John's guy. Crypto Fart Coin. What is your favorite convenience store snack item?
Oh.
Reese sticks.
Reese sticks?
What are those?
Instead of Reese's peanut butter cups, they're sticks. They have a wafer in them.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Excuse me? A wafer?
Really?
Yeah,
they're like those wafer cookies, but they got peanut butter.
That seems like a new thing.
It's been around forever. It's like Reese's answer to Twix.
Oh, I see. It's like a Kit Kat or something.
Oh, yeah. That's what you like?
Those look good.
I'll do combos
all day at a
game. John, I'm pizzeria pretzel combos and a fucking Dr. Pepper. Let's go.
Yeah, combos for me as well.
I don't know if we discussed it on the podcast. I know we discussed it on the text thread, the real show. The cheeseburger Doritos?
Yeah.
Solid, but not real as good as the hot mustard Doritos are elite.
I haven't had the hot mustard.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So, oh, brother.
Yeah.
I still have, even though I discovered that it's not nearly as rare as, like, I must have spoken it into existence with finding the Harold's mild sauce at the store. Now it's at my Woodman's, but I still have all of your Harold's mild sauces that I just, like, arm out on the shelf into the fucking cart for everybody when I spotted them a few weeks ago. They're glorious, by the way. All right, staying in the Yasudas family. What band, past, present, or future, would you like to see at the Sphere in Vegas?
I don't know that I could handle a concert at the Sphere.
I don't either.
No, the only concert, past, present, or future, that I would want to see would be to watch Sam see Van Halen at the old Montreal Forum so I could see him pass out.
Yeah, did you say pass out or ass out?
Both. Van Halen, old Van Halen, the Sphere would be an experience, but I don't know. I my previous trips to on an Omnimax theater have ended with me getting sick, so I don't know that I could handle it.
I really wish. I'm so jealous. This is one of those things where you guys know I hate a lot of stuff.
No, not you.
Right, of course. I can't listen to jam band music. It's not that
neither
I hate
can I
it.
Neither can I.
It does. It makes me feel like nothing. It doesn't do anything for me.
There's
it's
a
like
recent Kyle Kinane.
Noise.
There's a recent Kyle Kinane special where he says every jam band ever might as well be named Noodly Lou and the Turd Herders.
I went to a show with like one of Emily's friends, and I was just like, I'm so bored.
Which band?
It was Umphrey's.
Oh.
And they do these like goofy.
I've got a
things,
very good friend who sees them every fucking time.
Of course, people dressed up, and they're like, let's have the audience vote for the song we're gonna play on our phones. And every jam band does this shit. And I wish I liked it because there's thousands of hours of music that you can just enjoy if you're into that shit. And I can't enjoy any of it because it stinks. It's like nursery rhymes for morons. I hate it. It's horrible. The music sounds shitty. The guitars are barely plugged in. I don't know. John Mayer's there for some reason. People try to tell you he's good now. I'm really missing out. It's really not fair because I can't think of a band.
This is where the four of us just lament and wish that we were in any way normal. And
John, are you a jam band guy?
No.
Okay. No.
Sam's not either.
No. God, no.
This is what pisses me off too. Like, on top of it, it's not only am I not a jam band guy, like, those people, yes, I'm going to go out and say those people have fucking co-opted fucking Ween and Primus from me. Those bands were from friendless virgin weirdos and people who huffed paint in high school. Right, Sam?
yes. yes.
And now it's trust fund hippies and their fucking Jerusalem cruiser fucking Tevas out there.
Well, like, yeah, but those sexless virgins in high school and paint huffers, they grow up eventually. I mean, Les Claypool is like 65 years old. Bat, you know, like,
this is true, but
you can't,
like,
remain that forever.
Yes, you can. And if your name is Mike Patton,
and look where that got him.
Pouring piss on himself on stage.
Do the Almonds count as a jam band?
Yes.
Okay, I like the Almonds.
I mean, I'm happy for you. I wish I gave a shit. I wish I cared. I don't. It just doesn't work for me.
But also, I feel like the Almonds wrote good songs. My problem with most, if not all, every other jam band is like the songs themselves aren't very good. So you're dragging out something that's not good for 18 minutes.
That's my point. Is it's endless. So they can just do whatever they're doing, and people are just eating it up. 4 hours of God knows what.
Nitrous Balloons will do that, though.
It's true. Actually,
I've tried, man.
Like
it just
45 seconds.
Fuck, it stinks. Maybe if I heard. No, I've heard it live. What am I talking about? I've heard it. I don't know. I don't. This sucks. It's a bummer. So right. Bands at the Sphere. Can't think of a single one. No idea.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'd rather take a nap. What that?
You know what? Let's agree on this, Andrew, because we saw it last year and we were impressed with it. Let's just say, for the sake of saying it, because it was a pretty good multimedia experience, let's just say The Cure.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Great.
Definitely not a jam band.
I would love to see The Cure again, so there you go. That works.
And not have to leave early.
Oh, yeah. I hate staying till the end of stuff.
All right. Do we have a quick one to end with? Or should we
I got one for you, if we want to.
Oh, you got one.
We can go full circle, Matt, unless I'm stealing your thunder with anything.
No, go for it. Yeah, if you got one on the Greek hotline here, go for it.
Billy G texted into the Greek corner, and he would like to know, is this the first competent Bears GM in our lifetime?
Well,
I mean, we go back far enough, all of us, to like Jerry Vannesi. So.
Yeah, Vannesi's our lifetime. So
not Billy G's. Billy G's would probably start around Mark Hatley, I believe.
Bad.
And then like, Jerry Angelo.
That guy drank himself to death with Diet Cokes.
Well, Angelo did produce one Super Bowl team, so he wasn't.
He was competent for like about a 5-year stretch. They didn't let him out of the building.
I wouldn't qualify.
They couldn't
I wouldn't
get him upstairs.
I don't think I have the heart to classify Jerry Angelo as a moron.
They didn't improve upon Jerry Angelo until they got to this guy. Like,
right.
It was a long
but
time.
Jerry Angelo was competent.
Yeah,
Jerry Angelo, not a moron. Even if we're going back to like our conscious Bearshood,
and he had Dan McNeil pounding the table when he cut Mark Wells. Maybe
a cocaine,
Mike Wells,
coke machine with like Chicago.
My favorite moment of interning at ESPN 1000 that summer was Dan McNeil pounding the table and punching doors when the news broke that Mike Wells had been cut. Then the Bears proceeded to go 13-3.
Well, that was probably the year that they signed Traylor and Ted Washington. Right?
Traylor and Washington. There was no room for the high
what
motor
a team
Mike Wells.
That was. God damn, that was fun.
I couldn't run on them.
Those big boys. That was great.
700 pounds of ass.
And then you just have Urlacher running free all the time.
Free. Yep.
What a strategy.
Worked for
was the Ravens strategy.
Yeah. Worked for one season.
It worked for exactly one season.
It was a fun one season.
It was.
It's all not right. our well, season, I, but we watched that season.
Well, we are back, and we are here for the
I think we're here weekly until we say otherwise.
That's right, baby. Hard Knocks weekly. Next week.
Weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y.
whenever we are back next week, we'll be reviewing episode one.
We've been taken out of the box, Sam.
Whether that comes right after or the next day, we'll let you know. Pay attention to the Twitter feed. Until then, I think I'm Sam for Slack, for Matt, for John. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Until next week, Top Guys out.
When I went to your school, I went to your churches, I went to your institutional learning facilities. So how can you say I'm crazy? Say you're gonna pick my brain, leave it up for them, I think.